Bienvenidos de nuestros hermanos y hermanas de San Salvador. Greetings from our brothers and sisters in El Salvador and in the city of San Salvador. I had the opportunity this week to go to that city for a couple of days with South Texas Children's Home, and through that process, look at what is going on there and how South Texas Children's Home, we call it Stitch, is moving to partner with ministries there and churches there. It was very impressive to see what is happening there. And I have to tell you, as I've thought about our time together today in this series, having the opportunity to be with brothers and sisters in a foreign country, particularly in a country that is much more impoverished than ours, and to worship with them is humbling. It's humbling. We talk about wanting to become more like Jesus. We talk about sacrifice, to surrender ourselves, to be with Him, to make time for Him. And then you go and you see people who have nothing, who may not know if they're going to have food the next day, but yet come in droves. 400 people or so met for worship Thursday night. And I had the privilege, the humbling privilege, to preach to them. It changes your perspective. It changes. We always tell this to people as they go on mission trips: you go to serve, but you'll be the one that's blessed. It changes your perspective a little bit to see what others are willing to go to, the lengths they're willing to go to truly worship and to grow in their faith and to become more like Jesus. And so I just wanted to encourage you in that, because there are others around the world who strive just as we do in different circumstances to become more like Jesus. We have a tendency, I think, because of being raised, most of us, in this wonderful country, to have a little bit of arrogance. We have a tendency sometimes. And if we're not careful, we'll go to another country like that as if we have the answers to go help these poor people. And really, they're the ones that are sending missionaries here. That's convicting. I've met some. They're missionaries from other countries to our country to proclaim the gospel. So we're not the only ones. We don't have a corner on the gospel. We're in this together as family, growing and learning to be more like Jesus. And so that's really what this series is about, inside out, of growing to be more like Jesus. If we are believers, like I talked about last week, if we have professed Jesus as our Savior and Lord, then our ultimate goal should be to become a little more like Jesus every day. That's what it means to be His disciple, to follow Him, to learn from Him, to be more like Him. And so we began this new year and this series thinking about, how do we do that? How do we become more like Jesus? How do we live our lives as disciples? And I gave you 6 words last week. I hope you wrote them down. If not, you have a chance to write them down today. I think something that we can pattern this effort after for the rest of the year, really for the rest of our lives, and this is it. The first 2 words are look in. Look inward. How is it with your soul? The passage we looked at last week was 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you if you pass the test? Examine yourself. Look inward. Am I living my life to follow Him? The second 2 words are look up. Ginger did a great job of illustrating that for each of us, for our children, but for all of us today. We should have our eyes fixed on Him. Are we looking to Jesus every day for guidance, for direction? So look in, look up, and then look out. We were not saved for us. We weren't saved for us. If you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. You're secure. But it doesn't stop there. That's the beginning of the journey. We are saved to serve Him. And so we look out. The third set of words. Look in, look up, and look out. How are we to serve Him? How are we to live our lives that we make an impact? Are you going to make an impact this year for Him? Is this church going to make an impact in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world? Are we going to make an impact for Him? Or are we just going to be comfortable going through the motions? May we never be comfortable going through the motions. Jesus did not save us to be comfortable. So next week, we're taking the pews out. The following week, I'll be looking for a new job. In all seriousness, we weren't saved to be comfortable. Jesus never said, follow me and you'll never have another problem. Jesus never said, follow me and it gets easier every day. He never said that. We were saved to make a difference for Him in this world. You've heard me say this before. The church is God's plan A for the redemption of humanity. Since Jesus came, the church is the plan. There's not a plan B. Now, I will tell you, Scripture is very clear. If we refuse to speak for Him, even the rocks will cry out. God will find a way, but His plan is for us to be His messengers, His disciples. And so we'll talk more about that next week and how we make an impact. But those three sets of words, keep those in your mind. Look in. Examine yourself. Look up. Look to Him for guidance. And look out. How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to serve Him? Today I want us to focus on this idea of looking up. Looking to God for direction, for hope, for clarity. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is, by the way, the author of faith, the giver of grace. Our passage today, Colossians 3, 1 through 3, similar to what Paul was talking about last week in 2 Corinthians that we looked at. Since then, you have been raised, a better translation might be, if you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, the danger of looking inward is we typically stop there. But that's just the beginning. When we look inward, we look to see, have we committed to Him? Are we in the faith, as we looked at last week? Have we surrendered? Verse 3 here says that we have died. We have died to ourselves and have been raised with Him. Have you died to yourself? You don't have to answer that to me. You will have to answer before Him. Have you died to yourself? Have you surrendered? That's really at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus, isn't it? Surrender? I just said last week, we don't have a problem with Him being our Savior, but we struggle with Him being our Lord. It's about surrender. It means that our desires take a back seat, that I take a back seat to Him. Now, I will be the first to tell you, I don't do this perfectly. And everybody said, let's just get it out. I don't do this perfectly. That's what it means to get up every morning and surrender to Him. You get up today and you try to be a little more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. And we don't always do a great job of it. But following Jesus begins with surrender. To say, what you want for me, that's what I want. I just want to please you. I just want to serve you. I just want to do what you want me to do. Because let me just tell you, what Jesus has for you is so much better than anything you could ever think up for yourself. Anybody ever experienced that? We think we have the idea, the perfect plan, right? Scripture says we make plans and God laughs. We surrender to Him. Remember that this life is never about us. It's always about Him. We have died, Paul says, and now we have been raised with Christ. And so we are to set our hearts and our minds on Him. This first step is surrender, to die to self. And that sounds horrible, doesn't it? And from a human standpoint, from our own desire, we want to be our own boss. But in order to truly follow Jesus, He has to become first. I've heard it said, if He is on the throne, you can't be. But if you are, He can't be. And so we surrender to Him. That's the first step. To seek Him first. Jesus' own words in Matthew 6:33 is, seek God and His kingdom first. And His righteousness, what He has for us. And then what? What happens if we seek Him first? Everything else, all of these things will be added. See, what we need to understand with that is it's so counterintuitive to us. It's like, but I want to do this. I know if I do this, then I'll get this. But Jesus says, if you seek Him first, then all these other things will take care of themselves. That's why there is such freedom and liberty in following Jesus. All we really have to do is keep our eyes on Him, and He'll take care of the rest. Amen? Okay, you're still with me. I could start speaking in Spanish. Will that help? Actually, we'd be out of here in about 30 seconds because that's about all the Spanish I know. And then I figured you'd say amen to that. So never mind. We start with surrender to giving ourselves to Him. But Paul says that in verse 3 here, for you died and your life is now what? Hidden in Christ. You are His. Think about that for a minute. When you surrender to Him, you are His. The very Son of the living God has you in His hands. Following Jesus is a one-time commitment. I believe that. I believe that we make a decision to follow Jesus and we give our lives to Him and He saves us. Paul tells us if we confess with our mouths and we believe with our hearts that Jesus is God's Son and He's been raised from the dead, then we will be saved. So I believe Scripture teaches us that we make a decision to follow Him and He saves us and there's nothing. We are His. We are hidden in Him at that point. But living for Him is a daily decision. So following Jesus is a one-time commitment, but a daily decision to surrender to Him. We died, as Paul says, to self, and we were raised with Christ. He has saved us and given us life. Now we are to set our hearts on things above, set our minds on Him. Our desires, our passions, our desire should be to show Him how much we love Him. What have you done today to show Him how much you love Him? What will you do tomorrow to show Him how much you love Him? It's not just this surrender. It's a commitment to actively seek Him, to desire Him. Not only do we have to make this decision and to commit and to surrender, we need to actively, daily seek Him, surrender to Him. Meister Eckhart, in fact, a friend of mine, has this in his tag in emails that go out. It's been a quote that I've kept on my desk for years. But Meister Eckhart says, "The reason we do not see God is the faintness of our desire." The reason we do not see God is the faintness of our desire. Do you desire to see Him? You see, I believe, and you've heard me say this before, one of my pet peeves when someone prays, particularly in a group like this, is when they say, "God, come into our presence." And I understand the heart behind that. If you've ever prayed that prayer, I'm not condemning you, but understand, my understanding is God is here. We don't have to ask Him to come into our presence. When two or three are gathered, what? He's here. So the issue isn't God. The issue's us. Are we looking? Are we paying attention? Or are we thinking about what's for lunch? Some of you are thinking about what's for lunch right now. And if you weren't, you are now, so you're welcome. You see, when we want to see God, it depends more on our desire to see Him and our putting measures in place to see Him, because God is with us. There is no place, Psalm 139 says, there is no place we can go that He is not with us. If I go up to the heavens, what? He is. If I go down to the depths, He is. If I go across to the other side of the ocean, He is. We can't go anywhere that He's not there. So the issue isn't, "God, come be with us." The issue is, "God, open my eyes. Give me a desire to see You. Give me a passion to know You." It's on us. And sometimes God gets our attention through things we go through, and it's easier sometimes for us to let the distractions fall away when there's a problem, right? We really seek Him when we have issues. Well, all of us have issues, but when we have a problem, it's harder sometimes to truly desire to see Him when things are going well. But our prayer should be, "Jesus, help me see You today. Give me Your eyes to see others as You see them. Give me Your eyes to see You involved in my life every day." Hindsight is always what? 2020. I can look back and I can see how God has worked in my life. It is more rare to see Him working. We have to be paying attention. We have to be diligent. We have to have focus. Where is your focus today? Our prayer should be, "Lord Jesus, I love You. Help me love You more. I know You, but help me know You more." Are you truly in the faith? Are you living in the faith, as we talked about last week? Or are we just going through the motions, distracted? It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to take our eyes off of Him and not really see God around us and working in us and around us. So our prayer needs to be, as I said, "I love You, Lord. Help me love You more. I know You. Help me know You more." Knowing Jesus must be our most passionate desire. As I even typed those words, I'm convicted. When I was writing this, I became convicted because I don't know it's my most passionate desire. Not every day. And that's just confession to you. But I think you could probably say the same. Probably not every day is it your most passionate desire to know Jesus more, but it should be. Paul tells us, if in fact you have surrendered to Him, if in fact you have been crucified and raised to Him, then set your minds and your hearts on things above. Set your heart. This idea of desires we've just been talking about. What is it that you desire? What is it that keeps you up at night? What are you passionate about? What makes you tick? It ought to be more and more following Jesus that you're passionate about, that your heart is set on. Set your minds, he says, on things above, not on things below, not on things here. What do you think about? What do you think about when you sit still? Well, if you sit still too long, you probably fall asleep. But if you were thinking, what do you think about? Another friend has this quote at the base of his emails that come out. It's a quote again that I've had on my desk for years, but A.W. Tozer says, what you think about God, anybody else know the quote, is the most important thing about you. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. Do you think about God? An old Puritan preacher from the 17th century, Thomas Watson, he said, the first fruit of love is the musing of the mind upon God. He who is in love, his thoughts are ever upon the object. Have you ever been in love? If you're married, you better say yes. Thomas Watson said, the first fruit of love is the musing of the mind upon God. He who is in love, his thoughts are ever upon the object. By this we may test our love to God. What are your thoughts most upon? Can we say we are ravished with delight when we think on God? And then here's the convicting part of this quote. Oh, how far are they from being lovers of God, who scarcely ever think of God. How far are they from being lovers of God who scarcely ever think of God? Do you think about Him? Is He on your mind? Are you focused on Him? As believers, we need to live in this world, but not ever think that we're of it. A.T. Robertson says, our feet should be planted here, but our eyes should be focused there. Ginger has already read this passage, but the writer of Hebrews, in chapter 12, I'm going to move back to verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes on Him. Set aside those distractions. Set aside anything that hinders. Like I said, God is always with us. He is there. Do we see Him or are we distracted? It's so easy to be distracted. Just remember, this isn't our home. This isn't our home. We are foreigners here. And so it's so easy for us to get distracted by shiny things that will not last. Isn't it? It's so easy for us. And I think that's a part of the method and the strategy that Satan uses, because if he can keep our eyes off of Jesus, we're not a threat. So he throws fun things in front of us, shiny things. We get distracted. But remember, this is not our home. Our true home is on the horizon. We need to look there. So don't get bogged down. Don't get hindered with the things of this world. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Set aside those things. Throw those things off and run the race that He set you here to run. focus on Him. So look up and fix your eyes on Jesus. Look up and fix your eyes on Jesus. So as we said from last week, we look in, we examine ourselves. Are we living in the faith? Then we look up and we fix our eyes on Him and we walk in that faith. And next week we'll talk about what it means to look outward. What difference does it make if we're not being used by Him to make a difference here? But it starts with looking in and looking up. My challenge for us today is start each and every day, each day, by surrendering to Jesus. And then look to Him throughout the day for guidance. It's one thing that the first thing you do when you turn the alarm off in the morning is say, Jesus, I give you this day. I give myself to you. But then what happens? Life. And we take our eyes off. And so we need to look throughout the day, looking to Him for guidance. May it start today. Make sure that we're living in the faith, following Him, keeping our eyes focused on Him. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank You for guiding us. I thank You for making it possible for us to even have a relationship with You in the first place. Thank You for all that You do for us, Your grace, Your love, Your forgiveness, Your mercy, Your salvation. We are truly lost without You. And so today, remind us of that fact. Remind us that we need to make sure that we are truly Your child. It starts there. If there's anyone here that has never made that commitment, that decision to give their life to You, may today be that day. But then remind us, it doesn't stop there. So many of us, we stop there. We think we have given our life to You, and now we're safe and we can do whatever we want. But that's not what You have for us at all. So remind us today that we are to examine ourselves to make sure that we are living in the faith, and that we look to You to give us the wisdom, the guidance, the strength, the clarity to do just that, to live in the faith. Lord, be glorified through us. We love You. Help us love You more. We know You, but help us know You deeper. All of this for Your glory, Lord Jesus, and in Your name we pray it. Amen.